Y'all doing okay this morning? Front row's doing good. People in the bleachers, y'all doing okay? How about the people in the bleachers? It's good. Boy, I'm going to come back there and see y'all before this is over with. It's good to see you this morning. You know, I didn't say anything about this last week, and I probably should have or whatever, and I just, you know, I'm ADD, and I don't remember half the stuff that I'm supposed to say most of the time. But last week kind of marked our church being 3 years old. And it's such an incredible thing to get to see what God has done since the very beginning of this thing to now. And so many of you have so many different stories as to what 24 has meant to you and all that kind of stuff. And I just want to thank you for believing in this and believing in the vision. Later in this series, we're going to be talking a little bit even about the vision of 24 Church. And some of you have heard that 1,000 times, and some of you have never heard it. And it's different, and it's some parts of it seem weird at times, even to me. But it's an amazing thing that God has given us to believe in. And so we'll be talking about that later in the series. I want to pray with you real quick. Let's do that right now. God, I just thank you so much for doing what we just sang about. God, you don't ever let go of us. God, sometimes we think that you do, but you don't. God, we let go of you at times, and God, we just confess that to you. And Lord, we know that you've forgiven us for that, but God, still our hearts break for doing that because, God, we want to be close to you. We want our relationship with you to be something that's genuine and real and not something that we just put on when we want to, but God, that it's our life, that you would be our life, that us following you would be our life. And God, so we just come to you today, and God, we just ask that you would just show us, Lord, even more of just what to think and how to believe in you and who you are and what you want to do with us as individuals. Some of us have come in here this morning, God, we just came because we were just supposed to be here, or we told somebody we would be, or it's just what you do. God, I just pray, Lord, that we could just get out of that. God, and that we would be here for you. Do an incredible thing in this place this morning. In your name I pray, amen. I surfing the internet yesterday. This will be of no surprise to many of you. And I was on, you know, definitely, God definitely, this is definitely a part of God's will. It exists, and it's the thing called eBay. You know, it's this most amazing thing on the planet. It's the only place that you can go and pretty much just buy anything. Well, I was on there yesterday, and every once in a while I'll say, you know, because I'm a hot rod guy or whatever, every once in a while because I'm eBay savvy, I have friends of mine that are older guys, you know, that have, you know, really nice cars, and they will allow me the privilege to get to sell these cars for them on eBay, and they, you know, it's just kind of a friend-to-friend thing or whatever, And so I was kind of messing with all that, and I had a car on. I was selling for a friend of mine, and somewhere there, I just got to looking at the other auctions of other cars that were similar to it, and it's a Mustang, and so I just automatically just kind of like, I got to go look at some other Mustangs that aren't necessarily like it, but, you know, that I love so much. And so I type in 1967 Shelby Mustang. Now, I'm not going to get into the history of Shelby because I've done that before for you. And the Gospel of Carroll Shelby stands for itself. But Shelby Mustang, very special deal in of itself. Any Shelby Mustang is worth a ton of money. But as a real Shelby Mustang fan, I wore the shirt for you today because I knew I was going to talk about this. As a real Shelby Mustang fan, there's like just a couple that, you know, I would even clone one of these things. I would love to have one that just looks like it, because they'd never be able to afford the real thing. And there's one, and it's a 1965 model, and it was a race car. And then the other is kind of like the ultimate. And it's a 1967 Shelby GT500. Now, many of you have seen Gone in 60 Seconds. By the way, that's not a real Shelby, and we can talk later about why it's not a real Shelby if you really want to. But it's not a real Shelby, but it is a great car, and it's a cool car, and I love that car, and we won't get into that. But anyway, the Shelby thing, the 67 Shelby GT500, they made a bunch of GT500s, a bunch of me and a few hundred, but there was one that they made that is just so special, it's beyond belief. See, he had this option. Carroll Shelby's a race car driver, and Ford had him build these cars so that the public could go out and buy a race car, basically to kind of market the image of the Mustang as being this high-performance car. And so he did an incredible job of it, and obviously it was very successful. And he had this one option in 1967 that you could drop in. This be nothing to about half the crowd here, but I'm telling it to you anyway because this is just truth, and I'm preaching truth this morning. And this one option on a GT500, which normally came with a 428 Super Cobra Jet motor, you could get a aluminum-headed, single overhead cam 427 Ford motor. Now, again, I know that means nothing to most people, but this is like the epitome of a motor. I mean, this is like, you know, people pay thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars just to get a motor like this. I mean, way astronomical amounts of money what these motors are worth today. And so the thing was this motor also came in his little Roadster Cobra and all this kind of stuff. Well, the sticker price on the 67 GT500 with the 427 was $7,500. Now, that sounds like nothing to us, you know? I mean, we're like, man, I just paid $9,500 for that, you know, used thing that we got my wife or whatever, you know? And it's got a lot of miles, but it's a nice car, whatever. You know, I mean, $7,500 back in 1967 was an enormous amount of money to pay for a car. For less money, you could go buy the Cobra Roadster that he was making, which was known as for setting, that particular car was known for setting the record of 0 to 100 and back to 0 again, and that record stood until just recently. I mean, it's amazing, amazing cars that this guy built. Well, this one car, the $7,500 67 Shelby, it cost so much money that only one person ever got one. In fact, it wasn't even necessarily that it was ordered. The car was built by Shelby because he was always going to build at least one to, you know, be kind of the test mule and to show the press and all this kind of stuff. And so this was the car that he, you know, publicized as being the one that you can have built. But none of the dealerships ever ordered any. So there was only one. I was on eBay yesterday, and I'm just, you know, perusing 67 Shelbys. There's only like one or two real ones on there. Usually it's a bunch of clones, a bunch of, you know, kind of the lookalikes or whatever, which are cool too. And I happen upon this one auction. And it says 1967 Super Snake. You see, that one car was dubbed the Super Snake. And I click on the auction and I'm thinking, what is this? And I knew that that was called the Super Snake, and so I click on it, and I'm thinking, well, it's just a clone. $3 million, or best offer. And I started looking through the pictures of this thing, and I mean, everybody in the Mustang world knows that there's been some guy sitting on this thing in Florida for years, and he wouldn't let the public see it, and all this, you know, stuff. And you know, to all I can tell, it's the real thing. But the whole time I'm looking at this car, the whole time I'm looking at this thing, I'm really questioning. You know, I'm going, it's not real. That's not the real thing. That's not really the Super Snake car. That's not really the one of one. That's not really that car that, you know, I've always thought, man, I'd love to just build one just like it. And I'll be honest with you, he's saying it is. I don't know that it is. He's saying it is. But as I sat there and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know, I'm having a real hard time believing that this is the real Super Snake. And I thought, you know what? My struggle with belief in whether or not that is the real car is the same struggle that so many of us have when it comes down to whether we really, really, really believe that God is real and wants to do great things in our lives. Yeah, there's tons of us that call ourselves Christians, even believers. But in the backs of our heads, so many times we are questioning we're going, I don't know if I really believe that. We read a passage of scripture and go, I don't know if I really believe that. You know, that was back then. I don't know if I really believe that something like that could happen. I don't know if I really believe that a fish could swallow some guy. I don't know if I really believe that, you know, that guy got all these animals together on a big boat and went, you know, sailing around the place until the flood died down. We're riddled with doubt about our faith many times, and you know, it's one of those things that we've got to be honest with ourselves about. You see, if we're never honest with ourselves about that, if we're never real with ourselves about that and never just willing to go, you know what, that is me, then we're never going to overcome it. You have in your worship guide this morning, if you want to pull that little thing out, I've got like some fill-in-the-blank stuff going for us this morning, and you can try to keep up with that if you want to and jot notes on it or whatever else, and trying to make those useful for you and something that you can kind of go away with and kind of go, well, you know, I've got a record of learning about this or that and not just, you know, trying to remember it later, because chances are you're not going to remember in a couple of weeks exactly what we talked about anyway, except that I'm obsessed with Shelby Mustangs. James chapter 5. In this passage of scripture, James is teaching us about something that's so important for us to get. And it's a very simple thing, and most of us in this room could say, you know, especially if we're a Christian or we call ourselves a believer, then we could say, that was me at one point in my life, but today I'm kind of struggling with this. And that's why we're here, and that's why we're camping on this today. And I want you to check this out. James chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Verse 17, it goes on, it talks about Elijah. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Do you believe? I mean, do you really believe? Not, you know, yeah, you know, do you believe Jesus came? And yeah, you believe in that. How far does your belief go? I mean, do you believe that our God hears our prayers? And if they are in line with His will, that He is going to answer them? Do you believe that? You believe that in your heart? See, this question is the question that this series is kind of based around. It's based off of the simple fact that I think so many of us, we stop dead in our tracks when it comes to our relationship with God, because when it really comes down to it, we don't really, really, really believe. Because if we really believed, I mean, we would be summoning the all great and mighty and powerful God who does whatever He wants to, whenever He wants to, is in control over everything. There's not a thing that He doesn't own. There's not a thing He didn't create. It's all His already. Everything that I've got is His. Everything you've got's His. So, what's our prayer life look like? I mean, if that's the God that we serve, I mean, wouldn't we like be like having Him on speed dial? I mean, wouldn't we just yearn to just like every moment of the day that we just anything good that happened, instead of calling our sister, We would call God. We'd be like, God, check it out. That is what he yearns for with us. He yearns for the moment that when we as his kids just go, I want to have a relationship with you. You know, I've got this little girl, and she just rules my world most of the day. If I'm at home and I'm trying to study or work or make phone calls, if she's there and she wants something, I mean, it is so hard for me to do something else when she's like, yeah, let's play this or block or whatever, you know. I mean, I just love it. And I don't have a full-grown child, so I can't speak from the point of a parent with a full-grown child. But I see the happiness in my own father that now we have this relationship with one another, that when something's going down, good or bad, that we just call each other. And we say, hey, you know, man, today church is great. And then, you know, the next day it's like, hey, church is the worst thing. Why did we ever get into this? Or, you know, whatever. It just has to have people in it. That's what messed it up. It's a joke, I promise. But you do feel that way some days. I mean, I know you do. I can too. It's okay. You know, the thing is, you know, I know that God, you know, when he called us out to be his children, when he said, I want you to come to me and I want you to be my child, he was waiting for the day that we come out of an infancy of being Christians who are still on spiritual milk and not solid food, and that we come out and we come for the solid food, and even more than that, that we're just coming to him and we're saying, God, I want you to rule my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I don't want it to just be a title. I don't want it to just be something that I do once a week. I want you to be the Lord of my life. This passage of Scripture, I mean, just shows us some very basic things. In the very beginning of this, it says, if anyone of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. And we see other passages of Scripture that are very clear, and they say things like, pray continually. Be joyful. In fact, I just want to quote this passage of Scripture for you. It's not on the screen, but I want you just to hear this. And in this passage of Scripture, and it's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 16 through 18, I'm sorry. It says, be joyful always. And you know, here's you know, runner-up for being shortest scripture of the year award here. And verse 17 is just this, pray continually. Pray continually. And it goes on right after that. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, we're supposed to be joyful. That means it's good to be happy. And you're in God's will when you're attempting to try to be happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. And secondly, we're supposed to pray continually. We're going to come back to that one. Thirdly, what's it say there? You don't have it. I do. But give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to just ask you something. How hard is that to do? For us to give thanks to God in everything that happens. That we just kind of like, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm good. God, you're the man. You're it. You're number one. My day was terrible, but you rock. Thank you, God, for my terrible day. I mean, really. That's how we feel a lot of times when we hear passages of Scripture like this. But that is the challenge. That is the challenge for us. You know, anybody that's ever played a sport, anybody that has a competitive bone in their body, ought to be able to see that this is a race that we are running. And we're not running it against other people in our life. Contrary to popular belief, other people don't control us. As much as we may think that they do, and we may let them. But the race that we're running here is a race against Satan and his minions trying to keep on knocking us down while we're trying to do what God wants us to do. Pray continually. What about that? What's that look like? What's it look like for us to pray continually? I mean, what is that even? How do we even live a life where we are praying continually? I mean, how do you do that? I spend a lot of days driving down the road. This is not all the time by any means, but a lot of days I'll be driving down the road, and when I think about this, I think, you know what, I just need to talk to God right now, and I'll be driving down the road talking to God. You know what? I keep my eyes open. It's okay. You can pray with your eyes open. If you've ever been peeking during a prayer time, about half the time I'm looking at you. There's a little giveaway secret of the pastor right there for you. You know, it's just talking to God. It's just communicating. He wants a relationship with us. I mean, that's what this is about. This is not about coming and going through the motions. That's why we don't have a lot of going through the motion stuff. That's why we like to change it up. You start getting used to a seat, I start freaking out. I'm like, move their seats around. They're sitting in the same spot. We're going to push those bleachers in one day and see what happens to you guys. You know, it's this understanding that God wants this real relationship with us, is that we grow up in Christ, that our relationship becomes real with Him and not just a going through the motions, that our relationship becomes something that we don't just believe Him, but we're acting on it all the time. You know, that we're constantly calling on God. And I got to tell you, for my life, I've had moments where I have called on God nonstop. And then I've had moments in my life where I feel like I just shunned Him. And I just want you to know that as the pastor of our church, the thing that I have prayed about and sought God about the most, that God is just, I want to maybe have worded that wrong, the thing that I've prayed about and God has spoken to me the most about, is that we should be a people of God who are constantly and continually seeking His face for everything. And that, you know, like we saw the video last week, and we, you know, people had prayed over that building, that God would claim that property to use it for His kingdom, because there's a church that doesn't have anywhere to meet here in about a month. And you know, I think, you know what, that's great that when we do that at times that we get to see God move. Why don't we do that all the time? Why don't we collectively pray in such a way that we want to see God do great things? I mean, how could we go wrong with that? You see, God has His perfect and pleasing will. I mean, His stuff is going to happen no matter what. God is going to do what He's going to do. But let me just throw this question at you. What if what He wants you to do is that He's waiting for you to come and ask for something? And upon that happening, He's going to grant it. Because again, He wants us, His children, to grow in a way that we come to Him and we have a real relationship with Him. That we would pray continually. If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And it goes on, talks about how God can heal. God can still heal. Did you know that? And we do that. We pray for that. You know, and I'll say this real quickly. You know, I know what we've seen on TV. No, we've seen a bunch of lunatics on TV running around collecting as much money as they can so they can have gold toilets and stuff. I know that. That's not what this is about. This is not like, hey, give me $5 and we'll pray to heal you. No, I don't care. You don't give me anything. We need to pray that God will do something in your life if that's what it needs to be done. And I think for so many of us in so many of our churches that we claim that we are Bible-believing churches and we're like, yeah, I'm all about the Scripture. You know, we want to take things like that and just throw it out because of what we've seen on TV and people giving Scripture a bad name. We still serve that God who does those great things. Verse 17, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Elijah, if you want to check out Elijah, check out 1 and 2 Kings, and you can read the story of Elijah and see what all that's about. But Elijah got something. He got that if you called on the name of the Lord, he would hear you. The prayer of a righteous man is going to be heard. And there entails in that statement something that we talked about several weeks ago, and that's that we've got to be walking in the truth. We see passages of Scripture where God just absolutely doesn't even listen to prayers. And you know when that is? It's when those people have turned their backs on God and they're not even living for the Lord. But they want Him to be their spiritual ATM that they go to and punch in something and get something to happen. And that's not what it's about. Because real relationships aren't based on just going to somebody when you need them to do something for you. You love them. And they love you. I got about a million more things to say this morning, but this is where we're going to stop. And we're going to do something. I think you get the idea. I think you get the picture. And this is really about just like, where's your faith in God? I don't care about, you know, exactly when you came to know the Lord and all that stuff. I mean, that's important. But this morning, what I'm asking you is, if you know the Lord, where is your belief in Him? What is it that you're not trusting Him to take care of? Got an email this week? February 17th, last Sunday that we'll be meeting here. We're praying, you can pray for this morning, praying that the building will be done by then. Don't know that it will happen. Got a couple of things in my mind that we could do possibly, but don't really know. But I just want you to know that in my heart as your pastor, I've already said, God, this is your thing. You're driving this thing. I don't want to drive this thing. You can give me vision and I'll share it and we'll try to go after it. But, we want you at the wheel. Not to quote Carrie Underwood. But, you know, it's one of those things that I think we just so all the time forget that we should just be trusting in God with stuff. And right now there's stuff beyond our church in your own life, in your family's life, in a friend's life that you've yet to even take to God. And maybe he's just sitting there on his throne just going, you know what? I'm just waiting for you to come and ask. Or maybe he's waiting to see how faithful you'll be in asking. Maybe he's waiting to see if you're going to do like we see so many people in Scripture do, and that you're just going to petition God to death every day, that you're going to go to that building and pray, God, claim this place for your thing. Or that you're gonna go to God and go, God, I am praying for my brother and my sister-in-law that their marriage would be everything that it needs to be to honor you and that they would not get a divorce. I would pray that, God, every day that my child would be a child that is honoring you as she grows up and all those things. You know, we just forget. But we're called to pray continually. And I got to tell you right now, as the pastor of this church, that's the most important thing that I think that we could possibly do as a body of believers. This is that we would be a people that would just seek His heart every day, every minute, and that we would just pray continually. So that's what we're going to do right now. I want to ask you to do something for me. I want you to stand up for a minute. Do me a favor, and this is just because this is me trying to get you out of your comfort zone, and again, just like kind of moving the chairs around on you. if you've got a children or a child or whatever and you need to stay where you're at, that's cool, and I completely understand, and you're welcome to sit back down if you need to here in a minute. But here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to go somewhere else in the room right now, but stay in the room. Just go right now. Not together with anybody, you know, just you. Just go somewhere else in the room. I know this is weird. You're like, oh my gosh, what is he going to have us do next? Just hang in there with me. And it's okay to use a seat if you need to. Seats aren't off limits or something. Here's what I want us to do this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer. I gave you the thing about the building. You're welcome to pray about that. That's not what this is about. This is not a, hey, let's just pray about the building time or something. This is a time for you to spend time with God. I'm giving you this piece of information so that you can use it. You may not physically be able to, and that's okay. And if you need to go somewhere and sit, you do that, because I know some of you physically need to do that. But the most humbling place that we can be before God is on our knees. It says to Him, I'm all yours. And I've asked you to go somewhere else this morning in the room to get you out of your seat, so that for the next 10, 15 minutes or so that you could just spend some time with the Lord. And I know we have prayer times together as a church, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to lead you through this one. Because sometimes you just need to get by yourself and before the Lord and just call on His name. And you may need to sit in silence for 5 minutes of that or 10 minutes of that just before you can even get to the point where everything else will get out of your mind so that you can focus on really talking to God about the things that He's been waiting to hear from you about. So, we're going to take 10, 15 minutes. I don't know. I don't really care how long. How long we need to just spend some time with the Lord. It's just you one-on-one. As if nobody else is in the room. The band's going to play. They may even sing. It doesn't mean you need to stand up and sing. If that's what you need to do and you need to worship God at that point, then you do that. We'll come back to your seats here at the end of this thing. Ben will rein everybody in on this, but I just want you to know this is your time with God. Just take it and use it. Don't miss an opportunity, because that's what we do all the time. And so what I'm trying to do is to help you kickstart something in your life that you could do on your own all the time. Let's just seek the face of God, just right where you're at. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you can't do that, don't do that. Just go for it right now.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome.